This morning, we talked about how to get your prayers answered. And I told the folks here this morning that I had a five-hour message. I was going to condense it down to 4.5 hours. And folks, it wouldn't have been hard at all to go 4.5 hours. I only touched the tip of the iceberg on what's in those stories, but I hope you really got some depth out of that. Some of the things that we talked about were stepping across the faith line and making an irreversible decision to stand with God and God's Word and to intentionally, deliberately believe God. And like I said, to do that, you've got to get into the Word and find out what God said. I heard a man say the other day, it's been a while back, but I'd never heard it put this way, but he said, faith can only start where you know the will of God. If you don't know what God's Word says, then you can't stand on it in faith. So to know God's will and to have faith toward that, we have to know what the Bible says. And therefore, we can make an intentional and deliberate decision to believe God. We also talked about being bold before the Lord and not going in whining and begging and pleading, but literally going in, standing on God's Word, and boldly saying, okay, Father, here's what you said. In faith, I believe that, and I receive it, and I'm standing on that, period. And we, going right along with that, we talked about taking God at His Word. That when God said it, to stand on it, regardless of what the situation and the circumstances look like, and to have faith. And again, if you'll remember, we said that faith is being absolutely persuaded that what God said is exactly what He will do, because He is a man of integrity and He cannot lie. And when I finally learned that, that was a great revelation for me. And of course, it's right in the Bible. And why I didn't learn it for a great number of years, I don't know. But it's not that God will not lie. He cannot lie. And that's because of the blood covenant that we have with Him through Jesus Christ. Now this morning, I shared several stories with you that really substantiated everything that we said. And tonight we're going to share more stories with you about how to do the things that we talked about. And biblical evidence that this is what God wants us to do. And if you'll remember, we talked about the four men that brought their friend to Jesus and couldn't get in through the front door, the back door, the windows. And they were so bold, not only did they interrupt Jesus' teaching, but they went and ripped the roof off of somebody's house to get their friend down to Jesus. And that ought to really stick out to us. And then we talked about when Jesus came to this coast, and there was a great multitude there, and Jairus was bold enough to go and fall down before Him and ask Him to leave the crowd and to come minister to his daughter because she was at the point of death. And Jesus said, I'll do that. He was leaving the crowd. He was going to minister to his healing to Jairus' daughter. And the woman with the issue of blood butted in. I say butted in. It says that she pressed through the crowd and said, I've got to touch Jesus. Now, I would call that butting in. And she again interrupted Jesus. And she drew power out of Him with her faith. She touched His clothes. And like we said this morning, everybody there was, not everybody, but the people were so close to Jesus. A lot of people were touching Him, rubbing up against Him and everything. But her touch was different. Her touch drew power and virtue out of Jesus and gave her her healing. And the Bible says that she knew immediately that her issue of blood was dried up. And so that's very, very important. Now tonight I want us to start with Abraham. Now we know Abraham as the father of faith. And as we go through this, you're going to see that he wasn't always the father of faith, but he got to a place that he was absolutely persuaded. And that's where I get that terminology over in Romans chapter 4, verse 21. It says that he was persuaded that what God said he would do, he would do. Well, just a couple of verses before that, in Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 19, it says, and again, this is talking about Abraham, says, and be not weak in faith. Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but were strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, folks, think about this. We read right there that they were old folks. Well past the childbearing years. They couldn't have kids in their prime childbearing years, yet God promised them that they were going to have a son. And by this point, their faith was so strong that even though there was absolutely no physical, natural evidence that it could happen, they believed. And I believe that they had the kind of faith we talked about this morning, that bold, persistent, tenacious faith. One reason that I believe that, again, here they are, they're old, they're childless, and all they have to go on is God's promise. Now, I say all they have to go on, you know, from the natural standpoint, a lot of people say, well, that's not much to go on. Well, it was enough that Abraham, of course, his name was Abram before that, but when God told him that he was going to have a child and that his seed would be like the stars in the sky and the sand on the beach, Abram started calling himself Abraham. And if you look up the word Abraham, it means the father of many nations. So here's this old man going around childless. He's got an old wife who's well past the childbearing years. And Abraham, when people say, hi, Abram, how you doing? No, I'm not Abram, I'm Abraham. What do you mean you're Abraham? You don't even have any kids. You are not the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations because that's what God said that I am. Can you see how he had to be tenacious about that? Oh, folks, that was a revelation to Abraham, and it ought to be a revelation to us. Abraham did not look at the circumstances. He looked to God's promises. And by this point, Abraham was so strong that it says that he staggered not at the promises of God, even though they were big promises. He staggered not. That means he did not doubt. And he was absolutely persuaded that what God said is exactly what was going to happen. And of course we know that Abraham had the natural facts to deal with just like we do. In the natural, it didn't look like there was any way possible for him and Sarah to have a child. But in spite of all of the natural evidences, Abraham made an irreversible decision to go with God. When he started calling himself Abraham instead of Abram, he stepped over that faith line like we were talking about this morning and said, I believe God regardless of what the situation and the circumstances look like. And we need to do that too, because Abraham and Sarah had a child strictly because they had faith in God's word. Now, like I said, they weren't always faith giants. And I think that's very important for us to understand, because a lot of times we say, well, of course they had the faith to do that. They were the father of faith. He was the father of faith. And Sarah was a great lady of faith. But at one time, Abraham's faith was so small that God told him something, and Abraham's reply was, well, how shall I know that these things shall be? In other words, Abraham was saying, I need some evidence here, God. I don't see this happening. How shall I know? But he just kept growing in his faith and continued to grow in his faith and continued to grow in his faith until he became absolutely persuaded that what God said he would do, he would do. So if your faith isn't where it needs to be yet, don't give up. You know, there's an old saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, if your faith is not where you want it to be and where it needs to be, then get going. You've got something that Abraham did not have. You have the written word of God to sit down and study and meditate and to read and to just literally, you ought to just let it consume your entire being. You ought to saturate yourself with the Word of God. You ought to get up in the morning and turn on a preaching tape or a teaching tape or listen to a preacher on the radio, and you ought to study the Word of God every chance you get. You ought to sit down and read the Word of God every chance you get, and just build your faith until you get absolutely persuaded that God's Word is true. Now, God is not a respecter of persons. We know that. But folks, He is a respecter of faith. Without faith, or with weak faith, we're not going to have the things accomplished in our life that we need. We've got to get to the point, like I said this morning, that we have that bold, determined, persistent, tenacious faith. Now, the next folks want us to look at, and we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but these are two of my favorite people in the entire Bible. And that's Joshua and Caleb. Well, when you study the lives of these guys, it is amazing what they did. And they didn't do it in their own power. They did it because they believed God. But if you look at what they did, they stood up against the entire nation. God told the entire nation of Israel, I have given you this land. That is His exact word. I have given you this land. But you have to go in and possess it. In fact, He told them, said, send in some spies, let them spy it out, and come back and give a report. Well, we know that Joshua and Caleb were the only two that came back with a good report. Everybody else said, well, we are like grasshoppers in their sight. But Joshua and Caleb, in a paraphrase version, said, that may be true, but they, talking about the giants, are like grasshoppers in God's sight because God has said, this is our land. He has already given it to us. He has already promised it to us. Now, we know that everybody in the nation of Israel died in the wilderness. Now, folks, I can't think of a worse place in the world to die. You know what the wilderness represents? It's a life void of meaning or purpose. They were just out there wandering around in the wilderness waiting to die. We don't want to be one of those folks. We want to be the Joshuas and the Calebs. They were the only two out of the entire nation that received God's promises, even though the promise was to the entire nation. You may be the only one in this church that'll be bold enough to do what we've been talking about today, about stepping over the faith line, and bold enough to interrupt Jesus and to be persistent enough to get, if you want to say it this way, get up in Jesus' face not in an arrogant way like we said this morning, but just saying, you know, Jesus, this is what you said, and I'm standing on that. You may be the only one in the church that does that, but if you do that, God will honor your faith even if nobody else does it. Now, I don't know if you remember, but back in November, when I called the church to fasting and prayer, I told you that I was going to do that whether anybody else did it or not, and I wasn't trying to be arrogant about that. I wasn't trying to brag about that. I was just telling you, I'm going to get blessed by God and receive from God whether anybody else does or not. Now, I want us all to receive from God. But that's your choice, and that's my choice, and I've made a decision that I am going with God, regardless of what anybody else does, and regardless of what's going on around us. You know, in our lives, a lot of us face giants. In our church right now, we're facing a financial giant. Folks, I hope that doesn't scare you. It ought to concern you, but it should never scare you. It should never make you afraid, because our God is greater than anything that we will ever come up against. Yes, to us, it may look like a giant, but to God, it looks like a grasshopper. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All we need Him to do is sell a few cattle and send the money our way. That's pretty easy, isn't it? A lot of times, I think we are kind of like, in the illustration I heard one time about the child of an owner of McDonald's going to his dad and begging for french fries and saying, you know, Dad, if you could only spare a french fry, I sure could use one. Well, of course, we know that the owner of McDonald's had millions of french fries. How many? I don't know how many. And it's nothing for his dad to give the kid a few french fries, is it? God can meet our need in ways that would literally surprise us. But we're going to have to be bold in our approach. And I'm not talking about just the finances of the church. Whatever situation you have in your life, it may be a physical healing. It may be a family relationship. It may be trouble with the kids. It may be a spiritual need. Whatever it is, we're going to have to step across the line, the faith line, and say, I'm going to go with God regardless of what's going on around me. I am going to be bold, and I'm going to come before God's throne boldly like He told me to, and I'm going to take Him at His word, and I am going to stand at His word regardless. Regardless of what's going on. Now, the last person I want to share with you about tonight, and I'm going to admit to you that this one I struggled with. When I say I struggled with it, this really causes the fleshly side of me to say, no, 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 you shouldn't do that. But this lady did it, and she was blessed. So, let me read the story to you. This is over in Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28. And if you struggled with any of the other stories that I shared with you this morning or tonight, I promise you, you will struggle with this one. Because this lady actually argued with Jesus to get her healing, for the healing for her daughter. Starting in verse 22 of Matthew 15, it says, Behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, cried unto Jesus, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a daughter. Now, I think we would all admit right there, this lady had a problem. Didn't just say that her daughter had a devil. It says that she was grievously vexed with the devil. This girl was in bad shape. And her mother realized that it was a serious situation. In verse 23 it says, But Jesus answered her not a word. He ignored this lady. Now when I first read that, I'm like, what is going on? But I really think he was just seeing if she had the faith or if she didn't. But it said that he answered her not a word, and it was so bad that his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. In other words, they were saying she's being a nuisance. That's exactly what it, and you can read in between the lines here, this wasn't just a 5-minute deal. I get the feeling that this went on for day after day after day. You know, they could have put up with it for 5 or 10 minutes, but they said, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And apparently she heard that. Because the next verse says, Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now look at this. This lady has been crying after Jesus for an extended period of time. How long? We don't know. But long enough that the disciples were sick and tired of this lady following them around. And Jesus so far had ignored her. And then he answered the disciples and said, Look, I'm not even sent here for the Gentiles. I was sent here just for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This lady acted like she didn't hear a word that Jesus said, and she came and worshiped him. Folks, that is bold, tenacious faith. She made an irreversible decision that she was going to go with Jesus, and she was going to stay there until she got what she needed. Well, even after she worshiped him, in verse 26 it says, Jesus answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. That's a pretty strong statement. He's saying, I was sent here to feed the house of Israel. It's not meet for me to give unto you what was meant for the house of Israel, for my people. And in verse 27, she said, Truth, Lord, Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. In other words, she's saying, even with you feeding them, I know there's some crumbs. I know there's some leftovers, and those crumbs will meet my need. Isn't that amazing? That is faith, folks. And let me tell you how I know that's faith. Because in verse 28, Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. This lady argued with Jesus and won. And won. Because she didn't come whining and begging and pleading. She came in faith and she worshiped him. And when Jesus told her basically, that all she was going to get was the crumbs, she said, yea, Lord, the crumbs will be sufficient. They will meet my need. And it says, after he said, great is thy faith, then it said, be unto thee even as thou wilt. In other words, even as you have faith. And it says that her daughter was made whole that very hour. Well, that was bold, wasn't it? I hope after this morning and tonight, folks, you can see that we need to be bold in our prayer life. We need to be bold in our faith. And we need to take a stand that almost looks arrogant. Almost looks rude. But it's not either one of those. It's just bold, tenacious faith. It's what the Bible calls effectual, fervent prayer. Heated, passionate, emotional prayer based on God's Word. That's what we as Christians are lacking. The passion has gone out of our prayer lives. The passion has gone out of our prayer lives. Individually and corporately. Now, we may be just like some of the folks that we've looked at today. We may have, in the natural, no hope whatsoever. Well, that's okay, because God in the supernatural can do the impossible in our lives. In fact, God loves to do the supernatural because that's when He gets the most glory and that's when He gets the most honor. If we can't do it on our own, then it has to be God. If we could do it on our own, then we really don't need God. But just like being saved, we can't do that on our own. Doing most everything that we need done in our lives, we can't do it on our own. But God can if we're strong in faith and if we don't doubt. Again, like I said this morning, that not doubting is the hard part. Because we are kind of programmed to doubt. We're programmed to look on the negative side of things. We're programmed to look at something and say, well, that can't work or that won't work. But like I said this morning, when those thoughts come, we have to take them captive. We have to get rid of them. We have to go back to the Bible and say, this is what God says, and I want to stick to what God says. It's hard. You may stick out in the crowd like the folks we've talked about today. People may look at you and call you weird, crazy, stupid, wonder what you're doing. Even people in the church might do that. But folks, as long as we're standing on God's Word and we're believing God, then it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. It all boils down to this. Faith moves the hand of God. We saw in the first story this morning about the man that was brought by the four other men. Jesus saw their faith, and he was the only one out of that multitude that was healed. Even though the power of God was there to heal them all, we read that verse of scripture to you. It was because that man and those four men, their faith moved the hand of God. Jairus and the lady with the issue of blood were the only two that had their needs met out of that entire multitude. And they all had the same opportunity, but they were the only two that had their needs met because their faith moved the hand of God. The Bible tells us very clearly in many different places, be it unto you according to your faith. To see more things happen in our lives, we need more faith. And to get more faith, we need more of the Word. To get more faith, we need more of the Word. To get more faith, we need more of the Word. Well, I wonder how many times we've heard that. But we've got to do it. We have to act on it. So here's what I want to encourage us to do tonight. I want to encourage you to come boldly into the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need, and that you will have the kind of faith that will literally interrupt God and make Him stop whatever else He was doing to meet your need. The kind of faith that will interrupt God. And don't apologize for that kind of faith. Did you notice none of the people that we told you about ever apologized for interrupting Jesus? They didn't apologize. Because that's exactly what Jesus wanted them to do. And that's the kind of faith that God honored back then. And that's the kind of faith that He honors today. And folks, that's really the only kind of faith He will ever honor. It's when we get to the point that we are absolutely persuaded. And that we become so determined that we have that, what I like to call, bulldog faith. And what I mean by bulldog faith, I'm sure you've seen a bulldog that would not turn loose of a bone. And you can beat on that dog and do everything else to that dog, but that dog is going to hang on to that bone. We've got to get a hold of the bone of faith. And we've got to hang on to it. Because when it all boils down to it, that's all we have. Without faith, we cannot move the hand of God, but with it, God can do the most impossible things in our lives. But we've got a choice to make. We can either go on like we've been going in our personal lives and in our church, or we can make a commitment to being bold and to stepping across the line and to literally placing a demand upon God and having such a determination, just like the lady with the issue of blood, that I know that if I touch Him, that I can draw virtue and I can draw power out of Him and I can be healed. Or I can have my finances met. Or I can get my family fixed. Whatever it is. We've got to change. It'll never change. Father, I thank You that in Your Word, You make it very clear that You want to meet our needs. You want to do things for us, Father, that are beyond our comprehension. Your Word even tells us that we can have an abundant life. And God, I just pray that You would help us, that we would make a commitment and a determination that we're going to stand on Your Word and we're going to have an unreversible decision in our lives. That we are going to stand boldly on the faith that we have, and we are going to be tenacious in our faith. And Father, that we aren't going to look at the circumstances, but that we're going to step over the line of faith and say, that's it. I am going with God regardless of what it looks like. And Father, I know that You honor that kind of faith because Your Word shows us that You do time and time and time again. In fact, You even tell us that without faith it is impossible to please You. But God, not only did You tell us we have to have faith, but You told us how to get it by the hearing of Your Word and by the study of Your Word. So God, I pray that You'd help us tonight to make a decision that there is no turning back, that we're going to draw so close to You. We're going to look to You as the author and the finisher of our faith, and we're going to look unto You to do the most impossible things in our lives. And Father, we give you the praise and we give you the glory and we give you the honor for it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.